Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, today I have, as promised, a returning guest. She is Lorraine Giordano. I shared her and her work with you as we talked about Operation Save Uterus when Lorraine told us about her personal journey when her gynecologist told her she needed to have her uterus removed due to the threat of cancer and uterine hyperplasia. Well, not willing to give up her uterus, Operation Save Uterus was born. Lorraine now helps women and men to be inspired to connect to their own health and healing ability using different alternative energy modalities. She also hosts an eye-opening podcast called The Womb Happy Hour Radio Show that we are now privileged to air on our radio network, Speak Up Talk Radio. And today, we are going to continue this very important conversation that seldom sees the light of day. And so, welcome back to the network, Lorraine.
Thank you for having me, Pat. Such a treat to be back.
It's a treat to have you here because this is a topic that, as I mentioned last time, was not something I've ever shared on the radio before. So I think it's important. I got good feedback from it, and we have much more to talk about today. So I do want to get right down to it. Many women are uncomfortable or unaware of even the basics of how their female organs work. And that's actually quite interesting to me because, you know, we think about other body parts and have an easy time understanding how those function. Why is that?
Well, I don't think we have enough time to get into patriarchy of like 2,000, 3,000 years. But I do think that overall, I think it's a lack of education, and I think it's a lack of women understanding the importance of how their basic body works, especially if you think about the female human reproductive system, your womb, your ovaries, your fallopian tubes. It's tied into so many important milestones, but because there's been an undercurrent of like shame and taboo, I don't think there's been, the conversation has been elevated so women feel comfortable about talking about it with their friends, their family, and especially their doctors.
It starts with moms too, doesn't it? I mean, it's really hard still as a mom with a daughter to even talk about that. And I don't understand why.
I guess it's a generational thing. It's an ancestral line. So how was your mom brought up, and how was her first period? Was it honored, or was it kind of hidden, and was it even talked about? I think from generation, the conversations haven't been that open. I think that's starting to change now. I mean, as far as my own personal experience, my mom, I didn't tell my mom I got my period because to me, she was very concerned about me getting pregnant as a teenager. And so I knew the day I got my period, it was a different ballgame. So I kept that from her. And she was a nurse anesthetist and she was very clinical. So I was very uncomfortable with the terms that she was using. So I do think the languaging, and that's why I think it's so important to talk about these things, especially, you know, based on my own experience. The languaging and the making the topic as safe and an honoring and welcoming space, even like when little girls are 5 to 10 to when they get their first period, so important.
Well, I guess we don't really have the answer to it, but at least if we're somewhat aware, maybe as parents or grandparents, we can begin to make that change. And, you know, I talk about personal empowerment, and so do you when it comes to healthcare. And yet women, and maybe even more so men, are still uncomfortable talking to their doctors about what it is that they're feeling. And so the question always is, how can you effectively fix or address what's going on if you're not even willing to speak up about it?
Right. So in the UK, they did a study where 60% of women couldn't identify where their ovaries are located. So your ovaries hold all your eggs for your lifetime. And I consider them the bakers because they're kind of keeping your eggs safe. And they're very closely tied to your thyroid gland. There's a significant amount of communication that goes on between your ovaries, your thyroid gland, your pituitary gland. So just even understanding the role and the importance, it kind of energetically and from an awareness perspective, it helps to kind of understand if you go when you're trying to get pregnant and your doctor tells you that your eggs are not, you're having problems with your eggs, that you have an understanding of what that relates to, as an example. So I do think that starts with moms. And before we move on, I just wanted to mention that I think there are women out there that are trying to kind of present, let's say, little girls an opportunity. So there's circles for moms to learn how to talk to their children, their girls, about their periods and their bodies. There's a company called Lunar Wild that that has created a gift box for little girls to prepare for when they're getting their first period. So it's a gift that moms can present to their daughters that have that have a little chocolate menstrual guide and organic pads. So there's different opportunities out there. It's just helpful to be aware of that. And I kind of went off a little bit from your original question, but I think it all ties, it's all related.
Oh, absolutely. I don't care where we wander today, because it is all related and it all needs to be spoken of and about. And I love that idea that there's these little boxes that then at least it's something that opens the conversation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't enjoy opening up a present?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Because really, I think if we reframe menstruation, even first period, yep, as a gift, mm-hmm, as a celebration, yep, rather than something that, if moms had, very painful cramps and then all they did is communicate the pain that they might have experienced, yep, it helps to reset the charge of it and reframe it in a more positive way.
Oh, I love that idea as a celebration, almost as if one would celebrate a birthday. I mean, it's a momentous occasion that actually does equate to something quite positive. So why is there that hush hush? And wouldn't it be wonderful if pediatrician offices would really promote or even hand out those little gift boxes at the appropriate time to the mom and to the little girl? I love it.
I know. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I also think there's an opportunity for sex education. And I remember sitting in class and being kind of embarrassed and horrified with boys in the room. So sex education, like what happens when you have sex, is a very important piece of this, but it's one piece. The way it's kind of presented is sex and how our bodies operate, it's all intertwined together. So I think that adds to the taboo of it.
Yep.
Because you're relating like, oh, I get my period, and then that's sex. Mm-hmm. At least I've heard different stories about how that has a huge influence, and it causes some shame and embarrassment, again, versus that celebration, honoring, like being excited for your monthly flow.
Yeah.
Because we're tied to nature, like our bodies, we're designed by through cycles, right? The mm-hmm. our the possibility for life to be created through us, through the thickening of our wombs, and then the shedding, right? The letting go.
Right.
So the receiving and then the letting go. And I think for women, especially right now, the way society is, we're very much into doing, but in that, and we've kind of forgotten about how to receive mm-hmm. in order to let go. Mm-hmm. And so I think it has a huge ripple effect, just even understanding that cyclical, the rise of estrogen in our cycle, and then the rise of progesterone to calm down estrogen. It's a beautiful synchronized process. And then when that rhythm gets off whack, then that has a huge potential to lead to disease down the road,
right,
whether like it's breast cancer or some other gynecological issue, which tends to, when we have too much estrogen, it tends to, put our body in a state, in a hormonal imbalanced state, which kind of could potentially lead to serious diseases.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I don't think many people give this much thought. I'm so glad we're bringing this up today. You said something earlier I want to just step back to. You talked about the ovary-thyroid connection, and I'm sure folks listening are probably wondering, what does one have to do with the other?
Your hormones are created, at least before menopause, majority of them, through your ovaries. And then And then your uterus also produces hormones. But in that synchronization of, keeping your eggs maintained and healthy, your thyroid is secreting certain hormones and sending messages to your ovaries. So a lot of women are experiencing hypothyroidism, where they have to have either, serious drugs. They're feeling extremely fatigued, weight gain, hair loss, constipation. And it's because that signaling has gone out of balance in the thyroid. So when that happens, a lot of women have a harder time getting pregnant if their thyroid is off and they have to take harsh drugs. Or you can have hyperthyroidism, which can lead to Graves' disease, where you might feel too much, where you're too revved up. You might have severe heart pain or palpitations. But the whole point is that there's a communication. There's messaging that's so vital and important. And so a lot of women, we're not paying attention to messaging in our bodies. We're just trying to push through. Mm-hmm. And so, I think last time we talked about the cell phone. Like, we pay so much attention to our cell phone.
Right.
Is it plugged in? Is it, did I get the most recent update? Do I have all the apps I need? But yet, we're not paying that attention as intimately and as closely with how our body is communicating to us and how those basic processes are working.
I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to mention that if you're disconnected, then it's harder to access the energy from this powerful center. And we could really use that cell phone analogy. I mean, if your phone is disconnected, it's not plugged in, it's not charged, you're not paying attention to it, you're not going to receive anything from it. So it's very much the same, that disconnection. I think that's something we need to think about.
Yes. And so from, I'm an energy healer. So from an energetic perspective, I can't tell you how many times I work with women. They're not even sure where their uterus is, or like what it really means to them personally. And so when you think about, we arrive through, our mother's womb, the majority of us, right? It has an infinite source of primordial, magical, mystery power. Like it creates, it's a container for life. And so whether you have 10 kids or no kids, but that energy force, so creative. So we tend to forget about that because we're not paying attention to down there. Most people are grounding, I think I said this last time, in their stomach, in their solar plexus, by what they're doing. But we tend to avoid what we're feeling. So the sacral chakra relates to how we feel. It's our seat of emotions. And if we haven't integrated a lot of anger or rage or sadness or even joy, some of that kind of gets trapped. Our womb is like a cave. So that energy kind of gets a little trapped and blocked. And so it promotes that disconnection. But just even being aware of some of the basics of your sacral chakra relates to creativity, emotion, even just in relationships, our relationships to money, our relationships to our loved ones, friends, family, just even understanding that it kind of, when you put your hands there, directs some energy there, which often the sense of touch, that sense of connection, that slight little shift in awareness can open up a ripple effect, I think.
Mm-hmm. Because you say that the womb is a great hiding spot for things or situations that we shut down. And again, I don't think anyone thinks about this.
Sure. So it's at our root, right, which ties into sexual organs as well, which is below your sacral chakra. The root is tied to your sense of security, how safe, how we walk the planet. And usually in our evolution, we start at our root, and then we kind of interact with our families, right, which brings us to our sacral. And then over time, as we get older and we evolve, kind of goes up to our crown, which is slightly above our head, which is our I understand. But a lot of trauma or abuse or neglect or stuff that happens when we're kids, a lot of times that we don't know how to process it. So the energy of that kind of gets hidden. We tend to swallow. Like, as a little girl, I would swallow my tears just because I didn't like being yelled at by my parents. So I think those tears went somewhere, and I think they landed in my womb. So it's really a great place to excavate, not in a judgmental way, because we tend to judge ourselves like, I'm so stupid for doing that, or I shouldn't feel this way. A lot of women tend to say, I shouldn't feel this way, even though that's how they feel. So it's a great area to excavate and just be curious and open to see what's there. Because the stuff that we hide, there's typically some hidden nuggets of treasure, of deep wisdom and growth, if we're just willing to kind of explore.
So we need to do a little cleaning house of our womb, right? And pay attention to what we pull out of there.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you referred to the elevator analogy. So that's basically what you were talking about?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Making the trip downtown.
Okay. Right. And then finding the goodies and bringing it out to the light of day and saying, what the heck is that? And what do I do with it now? Right.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that I think for women especially, I think women were meant to collaborate. So all the work that you're doing, you work with men and women, but women to collaborate. And so coming together in circle to get support, to kind of, you know, maybe you're not comfortable saying some stuff to your husband or to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, whatever it might be. But there's being open to just seeking help or support. And I think historically, women, we want to be perfect and we want to do everything perfectly, but it's important to get help. Like when you have a baby, you need, you know, it's helpful to have a support team. Like in life, it's helpful to have a support team as well. And so there's circles, there's, you know, therapists, whatever works for you. But I think in that excavation process, having support is critical. Whether you talk to an energy healer or have multi sources of support, I think this is an important time for that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for women to collaborate together.
Right. And you're available to do that if folks have questions or need to reach out, yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Why don't you share your website or your some contact information now? We'll get back to it again. But since we're talking about it, let's pop that in there.
All right. So my website is inspiredtohealth.net. So that's inspired with a D, T-O, health.net. And you can reach me by email at info@inspiredtohealth.net. And I'm on Twitter, inspiredtohealth. And then on Facebook, inspiredtohealth. And on Pinterest, inspiredtohealth. And my phone number is 201-344-6448. I'm happy to chat on the phone as well.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. We'll grab that again if folks didn't get it. So we're talking about how the subject is kind of taboo. You don't talk about it. You don't hear about it. But what you do hear about, and quite often on television and magazine ads, are yeast infections. But it's kind of on the negative side to say, okay, you know, things aren't smelling so great, so we need to cover it up with this and that. Never really talking about perhaps what the root cause might be. Let's talk about that for a moment.
So I think this is so important, too, because you mentioned yeast infections. So women are bombarded with the fact that we're supposed to smell like a rose garden down there, and there's all sorts of products out there to, you know, whether it's a douche or a wipe or, and there's so many new products to, you know, good smelling lipsticks to kind of freshen up your down there. It's really important that women are aware of bacterial vaginosis. So bacterial vaginosis is different than a yeast infection. And, you know, right now we're designed with hair. Right. So, but culturally right now we're going through a phase where the bald eagle or a landing strip is very popular. So we're getting a lot of waxes or shaving. So the hair is there to help prevent infection because our vagina, and there's something called the vaginal microbiome. So our body has what's called in different areas a microbiome, whether that's in your stomach, in on your skin, in your mouth, in your nasal passages, your lungs, but that includes the vagina, ladies. And so there's 10 more times microbial cells in on your body than your human cells. And these microbial cells are important because they're bacteria and they're fungus. Like we probably, you know, the importance of probiotics is very popular these days. You know, that helps the microbiome in your gut stay healthier with good bacteria versus bad bacteria. Your vagina has bacteria as well. And so the vagina is meant to be acidic. So if you're into health, you might hear that you're supposed to eat more alkaline rather than acidic. But the one place that acidity is good is your vagina. And so your pH, when you use these products like douching, wipes, perfumey smelling tampons and pads, it affects your pH. And so it can cause your microbiome to get out of whack and become less acidic. And so the importance of this, they're doing more and more research, but it's really important because it has an impact onto your fertility, your ability to get pregnant, because 50% of women don't even know that they have bacterial vaginosis. One indicator is that fishy smell that you were talking about, Pat. So rather than run to a store and just buy an over-the-counter product because you're embarrassed and you're hoping to get some action, but you don't want to have that funky smell when you buy a product, it's important to realize that your body's giving you a message, and that product might be promoting the problem more than, and it's probably masking the problem more than solving. Certain things like smoking increases your chances of BV, stress, a poor diet, all those things can affect your vagina, your vagina's health. So it affects your fertility when you're out of whack, your pregnancy. There's a lot of incidences of premature babies. It affects the healthier baby as well. It's linked to a higher increase in allergies and asthma for kids. So this is a, you know, an important question, like going back to the original topic, like, you know, even being aware that there is such a thing and being open to say to your doctor, you know, I have this fishy smell, what's going on? Because there's different ways to treat it.
This is so very interesting, the whole idea of shaving or waxing that, as you say, is the rage, obviously here has some negative outcomes. And you were talking about companies or whomever promoting and masking problems. These products actually promote and mask problems. And I did a radio show a while back about the dangers of baby powder and the link to endometriosis. And I don't remember if we talked about this last time. We might have. But here again, you know, we have this baby powder giant, Johnson & Johnson, that touts the importance of dusting our underwear with powder when in reality it causes health issues.
Yes, and there's been some significant lawsuits,
yep,
with dramatic amounts of money,
yep,
which I think is really positive, mm-hmm, because companies, in their effort to make money, perhaps are not looking at the best interests, yep, of the end user, yep, because the focus is more on money rather than service, mm-hmm, for certain companies.
No, for sure.
So, yeah, I think, again, this kind of goes to like, hundreds, thousands of years of this notion that somehow women are dirty because they bleed. And so we have to, you know, women need to do X, Y, Z, whether it's remove your hair, use a product that has toxic chemicals in order to make you smell prettier down there. We're not meant to smell peachy rosy down there. Mm-hmm. So, but there's pressure for that. You know, there was one article or a blog post that I wrote a couple of years ago where I saw an ad from, like, say, the 1950s where they talked about douching and about how feeling confident in that business meeting because you douched.
Oh, if only it were that easy, right? Oh, my God.
It was kind of shocking and humorous, but I think that same sentiment played out, yep, in many different subtle ways in 2018.
Yep.
So, ladies, go a little bit more natural. The thing about waxing and even shaving, it does increase your risk for STDs. And the wax, I've tried to do research on this, but it's hard to get the ingredients that are in a lot of those waxes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's pros and cons to everything, but your waxing salon's not going to have a sign that lists out the potential health risks of waxing. And there are some.
Exactly. So, well, you know, you got to figure follow the money sometimes. You were talking about some ingredients, and that just makes me think of Monsanto and the glyphosate, basically the weed killer Roundup that's found in tampons. So who could we trust?
There's a lot of innovation going on right now. That's little Louie. So I think, again, it goes to curiosity. So when you're in your local food store, pharmacy, wherever you're buying, like, your female hygiene product, be aware that, you know, what you're buying, look at the label and know that there's organic pads, organic tampons, there's menstrual cups that are helpful for the planet, thinks with the new period panties, menstrual cloths. There's a lot of different options that are available. And I think that's what's exciting about this time period that we're in, because more women are collaborating and we're trying to come up with ideas on how to, you know, make things healthier and friendlier for the environment and just overall higher quality.
Right.
So who do we trust? Trust yourself enough to be curious and seek out products that are best for you, that make you feel good.
I agree. I think that's a great answer to say, who can you trust? Yourself. Absolutely. We mentioned something briefly during a conversation I had with you a while back, and I want to talk about it before we head out today, and that is cesarean sections and how a C-section birth deprives the child of important bacteria found in vaginal fluids. Let's talk about that for a bit, because I think a lot of people doesn't even cross anyone's mind.
Going back to the vaginal microbiome. So again, women have been giving birth for millions of years, and it's the baby grows in our uteruses, and then it travels down and out the vaginal canal into this beautiful world. Now, what's happened more and more, and let's say even in the past 100 years, in the past 20 years, past 10 years, is that more women are having C-sections. So some of that has to do with, some women definitely need to have C-sections, there's no doubt about it. But there's a lot of women that are opting in to C-sections. So when you're having a C-section, the baby's coming out of your stomach, your belly. So the microbiome in your gut is different than the microbiome in your vaginal canal. So then that difference in the microbes there have an impact to the baby's immune system, potential for health issues, like up to 7 years or longer. And, you know, it's kind of missing out on some good juju microbes when a baby comes out of the belly rather than the vaginal canal. I just tweeted this morning, there was some, and this is, you know, a new study, so they're basing it on mice, but that even a mother being stressed could have an impact to the microbes within that the baby receives, even if the baby is born through the vaginal canal. So it's kind of getting technical, but there are different pathways, right, for life to be born through. Mm-hmm. So realize, ladies, that your power innately, beautifully designed could have an impact on not only your health, but your baby's health. If you're kind of giving birth through your belly versus your vaginal canal. Mm-hmm. And what's also great, going back to the collaboration aspect, is that women who use doulas, and a doula is a dedicated resource for helping women when they're pregnant, when they're giving birth, and even after they've had their baby, they're dedicated to the mom and to the partner and to offering support, physical, emotional support, in order to have a beautiful and smooth birth. Mm-hmm. And so doulas they've done studies on this where if you use a doula, it can help the cesarean rate, it's reduced the cesarean rate by 50%, the length of labor by 25%, and rather than being shot up with Pitocin, it decreases that need by 40%.
Yep.
So again, collaboration, support. You don't have to do it all on your own. And, you know, giving birth is a very significant and somewhat stressful period. So seek out help.
Absolutely. If people take away nothing from this, I hope this whole conversation about C-sections really hits home, because the rate of C-sections is out of line, and so many of it is done for the convenience of the doctor or the hospital, or even the mother who's just not informed to know what it is that we're talking about today. And you mentioned doulas. I saw that in action myself with my daughter when she had her child, her first child, and it was amazing that this doula, the doctor said, hey, this has been going on long enough, we're going to do a C-section. And this doula knew exactly what to do in put my daughter in a bath water, and no Pitocin, no drugs, no C-section, and delivered this child vaginally the way nature intended, and not rushed in on somebody else's time frame. And so what you're saying here today is absolutely golden, not only for the mom, but for the health of future children. So thank you.
You're welcome. And just to echo one thing, because I think that women should be really clear with your doctor and be insistent. Because I just was talking to my neighbor a couple of weeks ago. Her daughter, she wanted to give birth on a particular. She wanted to ride out, you know, have birth when the baby was ready, and she wound up going to the doctor, and they gave her a shot of something to induce labor without her really even being aware what's being done. So really just make sure you're standing up and speaking up for, you know, your intentions, and that anything else they have to disclose to you.
To answer that question, who can you trust? You need to trust yourself. And it starts then with becoming informed, because you can't speak up about something if you're not informed about it. So today's conversation is huge. And I know there's a whole lot more. Is there anything else we should be talking about today? Well, I know there is. But as we begin to wrap up, anything else that you wanted to bring up today that you think we should tie in?
As ladies, I think that we've been given a beautiful, you know, we come out of the womb, you don't come out with like pills or remote control or a user's manual, right? We are like the connection starts inside. So just be curious, be open, and trust yourself, and trust that the universe has your back. Whether you're giving birth, starting a new job, moving into a new house, just keep it open and keep the possibilities open. But be curious more with yourself rather than what's happening on TV or on social media.
Right. Absolutely. And visit your website, inspiredtohealth.net. All right. Maybe just give us again the lineup of where folks can find you and your phone number and all that again.
My website is inspiredtohealth.net. And I am on Voice America Health and Wellness with the Womb Happy Hour. I highly recommend, ladies and gents, that you check it out. There's been a lot of amazing guests talking about very different topics that you probably don't hear about too much. That's on Voice America Health and Wellness. I have some shows on my website as well. And if you'd like to contact me, you can reach me at info and Inspired to Health. I'm on Twitter, Inspired to Health. Facebook, Inspired to Health. And if you'd like to give me a call, have any questions, 201-344-6448.
You know, your website says it all, Inspired to Health. It makes so much sense, Inspired to Health. And why shouldn't we be inspired to health? It's our body after all. We need to pay attention, learn, understand. InspiredToHealth.net. Lorraine Giordano, you are amazing and wonderful. I feel so blessed to have met you. Thank you for sharing you with us today. And again, maybe we should have another conversation at some other point in time.
That would be fun, Pat. Thank you so much for having me on.
You are welcome.
It was definitely a treat. And yeah, I'll have to do it again sometime.